Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to this week's broadcast from River of Life Fellowship Church in Copenhagen, New York. This week, Dan Rivers shares a timely message on how we are to adequately use the time God has given us, with a message titled, Redeeming the Time.
Now, if you're joining us online, my name's Dan Rivers. I'm one of the deacons here, and just don't judge a church based on my message today. So now, today's message is something that the Lord has been speaking to me personally, and I figured that, if it's speaking to me, then it might have some relevance to the rest of the body as well. And it's redeeming the time and using God's gift wisely. So I'm going to start out with a question. What is the one thing we wish we had more of? Now, our quick response would probably be money. How many people, you don't have to show hands, but how many people thought money? But if one truly reflects, the one thing that we wish we had more of is time. In Ephesians 5:15 through 16, it says, "Therefore, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." The phrase "redeeming the time" is a translation of the Greek word exagorazo, okay, which means to buy up or purchase something, often with the idea of rescuing it from a disadvantageous position. Now, the something that's being redeemed is time. The disadvantageous position is the potential for time to be wasted on frivolous or sinful pursuits. Vince Lombardi, he was a coach for the Green Bay Packers, he's quoted as saying, "The Green Bay Packers never lost a game. We just simply ran out of time." Costi Hinn wrote, "In sports as in life, there's a clock ticking down second by second. But unlike in sports, you cannot stop the clock of life. There are no timeouts, no half times, intermissions, or overtime. You can't stop the clock for injury. You can't finish the play you started before the clock strikes zero." Now, we know God is the author or the creator of time. We read that in Genesis 1:14, which states, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons, days, and years." Now, this verse describes the creation of the sun, moon, and the stars to serve as indicators of time, but also to bring light to the earth. We also know that God operates beyond time. We read that in 2 Peter 3:8. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, the day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." This verse emphasizes God's eternal perspective on time, highlighting that he is not bound by the same linear concept of time that us humans experience. It is a reminder that God's timing is different from human perception of time, and his promises are kept in his perfect timing. Therefore, if God created time and he created us, don't you think that our lives belong to him? Especially if you're a Christian, right? Our lives belong to him. The Bible consistently presents time as a precious and limited gift. That's a gift from God, urging believers to use it wisely and with purpose. It emphasizes that time is not our own, but rather something we are entrusted with to steward for His glory. So here's a question for reflection. Are we using our time wisely for His glory? Now, I can honestly say that I've squandered a lot of time. And looking back, I should have been more involved in the scriptures, spending more time with people. But unfortunately, we become busy with the just frivolous stuff at times. Now, time must be quantified to give value. Now, we know life is short and uncertain. We read that in James 4:14. What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about, I was hesitant to even bring it up. Because it's kind of personal in the sense that, and I don't, also too, I didn't want people to think I was weird or anything like that. So I thought it was relevant for today. Now, it's a story when I was 18 years old. I was a college student at Mohawk Valley Community College. I was also on the basketball team. And basketball was part of my life. And we were off on winter break, but we still had to go into practice. I was at home at the time. And it was a Saturday morning in January. It was a beautiful Saturday morning. Sun was shining, it was warm, not much snow on the ground. And my dad came downstairs and he said to me, he goes, Dan, he goes, I think the Lord wants you to concentrate on your studies in school. Oh, boy. I said, what do you and God know? So I stormed off, got in the car, turned up the music, and drove to Utica. I saw my exit for Washington Mills, which was 1 mile away. Between the exit and the off-ramp, I'm sorry, from the sign and the off-ramp, I fell asleep at the wheel. I felt the car hit the gravel on the side of the road. I woke up, jerked the wheel hard to the left, and caught the edge of the guardrail. I rolled the car 4 times. I was pinned up on a bridge against the guardrail. Turned off the car, punched on the window to try to get out. But I heard a calm voice behind the car. He said, just walk out the back of the car. I had a Dodge Omni hatchback. It blew the back right out of it. So I crawled through the back, got out. There was a gentleman there, and he said, I'll stay with you until help arrives. So him and I are sitting on the guardrail. By that time, both lanes of the highway are blocked, EMS, fire department. I said, oh, no. I go, my dad is going to kill me. I said, we just got in an argument this morning. I said, and I left very frustrated and angry. And he goes, I don't believe your dad's concerned about your conversation with him this morning. I think he's just glad you're okay. To this day, my father never brought it up. He was just glad that I was okay. Now, in all the hubbub and everything else, a state trooper invited me to his car. So I was sitting alongside him. He's asking me a bunch of questions. Were you wearing your seatbelt? And were you drinking? It's Saturday morning, but college student, you never know. And there was a knock on the car window. The police officer rolled down the window, and a gentleman handed me a Voice magazine, which is a Christian publication. And he said, "I want you to know who saved you today." And then he walked away. And I was floored because a lot of things were happening. And it's not like me. You know, I'm as conservative, as rigid as they come. But what stood out was the fact that, first of all, I was safe. The Lord kept me safe. He showed me mercy. Someone helped me sit with me until help arrived, and then someone reminded me of my purpose. And he wanted me to know that the Lord protected me that day. Now, who walks down a four-lane highway? Who interrupts a policeman when he's involved in questioning, you know, I don't want to say suspect, but investigating. Okay. And who hands out a Christian magazine at the same spot? This is a four-lane highway. I was stunned. And looking back, I believe God met me on the bridge. I didn't listen to him that morning through my father. And we're supposed to obey our parents. I was still under his authority. But he didn't give up on me. He showed up, not with anger, like I said before, but with mercy. Now, that day changed me. It was a wake-up call. God was showing me that he was real. He was near, and he had something more for me than what I was chasing. And I better start thinking about what he wanted me to do with the time he gives me. Now, we know time is limited. Unlike money, we can't earn more of it. In Psalms 90:12, it teaches us to number our days that we may gain the heart of wisdom. Now, Sandy can tell you how frustrated I get when my time gets interrupted or my plans get interrupted. And here's another story. I get very frustrated or agitated, and to be honest, impatient, especially when I've carefully made plans and suddenly the phone rings or someone would pop in. It feels like everything that I mapped out for the day gets derailed. And I lose my momentum. And not too long ago, I'm not proud of this moment, I was working in the garage, my dad was there, and someone came into the driveway, up the driveway, and the first thing I said was, "Darn," I said, "Now I will never get this project done." I said it right out loud. And I felt immediately ashamed because that's where my heart was. It wasn't regarding the people that were coming up or anything like that. It was in my project or what I had planned out for the day. And immediately, I felt a conviction. And I'm still, to this day, this has been a few years now. It's still a reminder. And it's because I'm still trying to work through this, you know, time thing, and my time is precious to me. So it's not a very proud moment. Now, I have to realize that interruptions can have divine purpose. Opportunities to show grace or kindness. And patience, even when it's inconvenient to me. I'm learning the posture of my heart matters more than the pace of my day. And I'm grateful for God who corrects me with love and continues to shape me into someone who reflects his character, even in the interruptions. See, we see that Jesus valued time. He had a purpose and worked diligently. We read that in John 9:4. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is still day, the night is coming when no one can work. Now this verse emphasizes the urgency of Jesus' mission and the limited time that he had. It highlights the importance of using every opportunity to do God's will. Now there's several ways that we can waste time. And one is being lazy or idle. We read in Proverbs, it condemns the sluggard, those who avoid work. We also, there's some of us unnecessary rest or sleep. We spend a lot of time relaxing. And we read this in Proverbs 6:9-11. It warns against excessive sleep, illustrating how it can lead to destitution. We lack zeal or a purpose. Idleness can stem from not understanding and pursuing our God-given purpose, leading to chasing distractions instead of doing good works. Procrastination. This is probably the biggest one. We're delaying important tasks. Now, the Bible warns against putting off what should be done now because our future is uncertain. Waiting for the perfect time. How many of us do that? It's just not the right time. At least we think. Now, Ecclesiastes 11:4 cautions against excessive caution and hesitation that prevents action. We become paralyzed because we're just waiting for that perfect moment or it's not the right time. So we end up doing nothing. Another way is worry and anxiety, excessive concern about worldly matters. Jesus advises against being perpetually worried about life's basic necessities. He said he's going to provide our basic needs. Allowing worry to hinder spiritual focus. Worry pulls us away from fellowship with God and can lead to a physical fatigue. We have distractions, allowing worldly pursuits to take precedence. This is where I am most of the time. Now, the cares of the world can distract from what has eternal value. Some of the things I do are just busy. There's no purpose in most of it. Focusing on trivial things, like Martha. Being distracted by all the preparations illustrates how even necessary tasks can become distractions from spiritual priorities. Giving in to temptations and fleshly desires. These can divert attention from God and lead down the wrong path. Engaging in dead works or unfruitful endeavors. Working with wrong motives. Efforts not aligned with God's will are considered dead works and produce no spiritual fruit. Useless talk or busybody activities. Paul warned against those who become idlers and busybodies, saying what they should not. And 6, ignoring God's purpose and prioritizing things that are temporary. Okay, we seek worldly treasures. Matthew 6:19-20 warns against prioritizing earthly possessions or building up treasures in heaven. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was chasing after money. And once I took a job that paid $10,000 more a year to somebody who was newly married and, you know, you wanted to little extra income. I took a job as a computer programmer. That was my field and I went to school for. And within the first 2 weeks of that job, I knew it was the biggest mistake I've made. I was there for 4 years, and I told the Lord after the 2 weeks I was there, I said, I will never chase money again. It took me 4 years to get out of there. But he blessed me, and an opportunity came up with craft that was way more money than I was earning. And the blessings that I received there, I never would have imagined. So he got my attention. Failing to fulfill God's calling, the Bible emphasizes the importance of diligently pursuing good works God has prepared. Now, what are some of the common ways we can redeem our time? Oh, I think I made a mistake there. In Colossians 4:5, it says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. We need to prioritize prayer and biblical study. Now, we have several opportunities here at church with the discipleship class, and there's different groups, you know, throughout the church. We've got certain people leading these groups, and it was a blessing to us. We were involved in discipleship class, and we're also working with a group of people. I don't know how many years we've been doing this now, Jay. 4 or 5. And it challenges you. So I would strongly encourage those of you who are not in a discipleship class, inquire, and we'll make sure we point you in the right direction. We read this in Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We need to invest in relationships. We read that in Hebrews 24-25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to serve others and God. We read that in Galatians 6:9-10. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of the faith. We need to share the gospel. Now, these next two verses, I will go into another story. These two verses have challenged me, and they have also convicted me. So we read in Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the days, even to the end of the age. And Matthew 9:37-38, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out workers into his harvest. Now, these two verses or passages of scripture, they had a significant impact on my life, but not in the way you might expect. For me, they haven't always been the source of comfort or encouragement. Instead, they brought conviction, a deep, unsettling awareness that something in me wasn't quite aligned with God's call. A few years ago, I attended a discipleship group for men at Beaver Camp. The first night I was there, I had a dream, and it's hard to describe, but I still remember it vividly, especially how it made me feel. The dream tied directly to these two passages. And I'm only going to share a portion of it. The dream was I was standing on the edge of a wood line, and there was a field. It just had wheat in it. There was a man walking through the field with his arm stretched out, white hat. You couldn't see any of his features, just walking through the field. The wheat was passing through his fingers. And I had three distinct emotions during that time. As he was walking, I was hoping that he was going to call me into the field. But he didn't. My first emotion that I felt was he was going to call me. I was anxious. I was eager. I thought perhaps I was ready. I prepared enough. He was going to call me in to the harvest. That emotion immediately turned to disappointment, but also relief. The disappointment was the wheat wasn't ready. And I was concerned that souls weren't ready. That's what brought me the relief, because it wasn't the fact that I wasn't the one that was the problem. It was the people weren't ready yet. So that's where the relief came. Then regret settled in. The regret wasn't that the wheat wasn't ready. It was me. I hadn't prepared. I squandered so many years or days, and that's the part that hit me the hardest. It was me. And also, too, knowing that there's so many souls out there, and it says pray for the workers because they're few, right? How many opportunities did I miss? How many opportunities did they may have missed from me not being ready? What was the impact that I had? Now, had I missed my moment? Did I even have a role? These are all things that are going through my head. Was I disqualified based on my own lack of preparation? Those questions still haunt me. Not because I doubted God's ability, but because I was deeply aware that I had been given opportunities and I haven't made or taken them seriously. Now, ultimately, the Bible encourages a life of diligence, purpose, and focus on spiritual growth. It emphasizes the importance of using time wisely, prioritizing God, and seeking His will in all of our endeavors. Now, we know God's timing doesn't match up with ours usually, does it? Now, we all know that God's timing is perfect. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, that includes you and I, right? So, the more we spend our time seeking and doing His will, the more we look like Him. Waiting on God, we read in Isaiah 40:31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, the more time we spend learning and seeking Him, the more fruitful our efforts become. It's not just about working harder. It's about working from the right place. When we seek Him first, our perspectives will change. Our priorities will align. The things that we thought were important, chances are they probably aren't. Our actions become more effective because they're grounded in His wisdom, not our own ambition. Trusting God's plan over our own schedules. In Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's okay to make plans. In fact, planning shows wisdom and a good stewardship of our time and responsibilities. But we have to hold those plans loosely. You can't get frustrated when someone pops in or you know, something disrupts your schedule. We need to remain flexible and sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Sometimes God's interrupts our schedule for a reason. What feels like a detour might actually be a divine appointment, like those two guys that met me on that bridge. They could have stayed home in bed. But obviously they kept their plans open to hear from Him. Who knows what would have happened that day if they would have stayed home. The Spirit doesn't always move according to our timelines. And if we're too rigid or focused on our own agenda, which I am primarily most of the time, we might miss what He's trying to do in and through us. Remember, making plans is good, but being available to God is even better. Now, I know I didn't hit my 40-minute mark, but I know our time is precious. So, in conclusion, we have to live with eternity in mind. Now, time is a test of faithfulness. How we use it reflects our priorities. Are we just squandering and wasting it away on frivolous things? So we need to refocus. Now, there's also a call to action. Use time. We need to use the time that we have now to grow spiritually, bless others, and to fulfill God's purpose. Now, I have piece of string here. It's 78 inches long, which represents the average lifespan of a human, a male human. Women live a little longer. So if I was to cut this if I would have died that day, 18 years, I lost out on 60 years on average. We have any 30-year-olds in here? In the 30s? You have 48 years on average left. 40-year-olds, 38 years. I'm 58. Yeah, I'm gonna pick the longer one. I've got 20 years to use my time wisely. and to make sure it has purpose. So, the question I leave you is, how are you redeeming the time God has given you? Now, like I said before, this is something the Lord has been speaking to me, and this is, I've had this for a while. And sometimes I hold my time very, it's like Lord of the Rings, precious, that little ring, whatever it is. So, and Sandy knows, she knows how frustrated I get when something throws me off. A phone call, I have something planned or whatever, and I have to hold that not as tight. So I'd like to end with a prayer, if you don't mind. And I want to thank the Lord for the time he has given us. I also want him to help us realize how precious time is. It's a precious gift. And help us to realize how important it is. And we ask him to help us to refocus our priorities onto what's important. Now, I am so thankful he didn't take me that day, because I wasn't in the right spot. And I just hope that I can be called into that field. So I want to thank you for listening. And I also want you to pray for me. My wife wants me to go shopping with her. And that's not a good use of my time. So thank you for joining, and have a good day.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're glad you could be here. Remember, if you'd like to hear more, watch our service live on Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at www.riveroflifechurch.org. Also, mark your calendar for community tent meetings with the ministry Gospel Express on Wednesday, August 20th through Thursday, August 31st at Maple Ridge Center in Lowville, New York. Every evening, starting at 7 p.m., will be music from various singing groups and a message from Christian evangelists Nelson Koblenz and Dave Miller. Friday evenings, after normal service, will be youth events that will be held from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. Bring your family, friends, and an open heart to be blessed and be a blessing to others. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.